All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Here in San Francisco and also in Berkeley, they have a theater called The Marsh, and they specialize in one-person performances. And last year, I was very happy to welcome the highly talented Dan Hoyle in studio. He had a show. Well, he's on the horn, and he has another show. He's going to kick off a national tour tonight, one day only. That's right. Get down to The Marsh in San Francisco at 7:30 to see his show called Takes All Kinds. Dan, welcome to the show, and welcome back, I should say. And how long does it take you to do a new show? Because I know comedians say it usually takes about a year to 2 years to get a new hour.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back, Rick. Always a pleasure to be on with a Bay Area legend.
Thank you.
It takes about 2 years because I go out and talk to all these people and then create characters and monologues based on them. So there's like a large out in the field journalism hanging out element, and then there's the figuring what it all means and crafting it element, and then there's the making it good element.
I love the little blurb about it. It says investigative theater, as they say in England, investigative theater. What are you investigating?
Well, this was really coming out of the pandemic, trying to get in touch with where the country was at. And believe it or not, the initial impetus was how we kind of move forward together, looking at themes of reconciliation. And what it ended up being was portraits of people who are finding ways to move forward in difficult places, in politically contested places. So it's surprisingly hopeful, because you see these kind of mavericks who are out there surfing the currents and finding ways to connect with their fellow citizens in kind of smart, funny, surprising ways.
You also, it's funny because when we're kids, we like try to put on voices and impersonate people and make fun of them. We just never think we're going to be like make money at it. And we've talked about your dad, Jeff, who I think is a genius. So when you were growing up, you know, sons want to be their dad sometimes. What did you take from him and then your own talents as you sort of had that musical ear to hear these accents and such things?
Yeah, well, I remember in the 80s, for a long time, I would tell my dad he's my favorite actor. And then I saw Back to the Future, and so I said he was my second favorite after Michael J. Fox, because, you know, he was the coolest thing in the world, riding his skateboard on the back of that truck. But yeah, I mean, a lot of it is about, yeah, close observation. We used to go out to Golden Gate Park and sit on a park bench, and he would watch people, how they walk, how they move. And he grew up in England and came out of the world of physical performance, mime. He studied mime in Paris for 2 years. And then I sort of took some of that and then kind of took on a Twainian or a Whitman-esque kind of impulse to study the American overall of voices and dialects and people. And there's so many, and it's interesting because, like, you'll be surprised that there's, like, I walked into so some of the people I talk to, it's like I reach out to them. I say, your story's interesting, I'd love to come and talk to you. Other times I'm just, you know, at a bar, and you know, the bartender comes up to me and says, "Here are your burger. Beer's on its way. Why are you so happy?" And I say, you know, and I'm in a conversation with this guy, and he's got this amazing way of talking. And then it turns out that he's got this whole backstory about having worked as a contractor in Iraq, and he tells me his whole story. And so sometimes it's like I know what I'm going to get, and then other times it's just being open and present to the moment.
Do you ever find yourself when you hear voices like that, and the tendency is maybe to immediately, you know, take on that affectation. Like, I'm from Richmond, California, and the other day I was renting a car from the Oakland airport, and there was this large African-American woman who was telling me, she's like, "Don't get gas on Hagenberger." And I'm like, "I won't, girl." And she goes, "You got your sunglasses?" I go, "I got mine." And she's like, "Woo." And then later I thought, she could have totally taken that as racist. You know, I'm like, because I was sounding like her. And I just thought we were playing around. But some people don't play. So do you ever find yourself in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, what I do and what I've really crafted and sort of hang my hat on is I get people's permission. There's transparency. And then it's coming with respect and curiosity to try to tell the story in really an authentic way. The comedy comes from the truthfulness of it. So it's not about satire, which is like exaggerating to find. And there can be truth in satire for sure. But this is more about honing in on the essence of someone. So that I have people come after the show and they'll say like, "Wow, that felt like my cousin, that felt like my uncle. Like, I appreciated the way there was comedy, but there you can see the amount of respect and care you take with it, and that you're really trying to reflect somebody's humanity." And that comes out in the way we speak, but it also comes out in something deeper that I think you have to connect with to do it right.
You know, it's funny, I was watching the Paul Reubens documentary, and you know, Pee Wee Herman was a character that he was doing at the Groundlings, and everybody was like, "Oh my gosh, everyone loves it!" And now all these Hollywood stars are coming, and now it's too big for the Groundling Theater, and so it gets bigger and bigger. And he's like, "I guess this is the character I'm doing now." Have you ever found a character, just maybe who you thought maybe was just kind of, I don't know, maybe a throwaway character, and then it really resonated with people, and you're like, "I got to do more of that."
Yeah, there's, what's interesting is sometimes the characters that are hardest to really be able to lock into, and I say it's like you need to work it so well that you're just like popping into a glove. Like you have to do so many hours that it becomes effortless, that you're just dropping into to somebody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are the characters that take the longest. And sometimes there's a woman in South Carolina that I was just really struggling to get, and I finally found this smile, the way that she kind of curls her lips, and it just kind of opened up the whole thing, and then a slight move of my hair, and you know, people say, "Oh, you're not supposed to work outside in," but I find that those, both the inside out and the outside in, kind of inform each other, so that once I'm working in front of a mirror and I feel like I'm talking to somebody else, then I go, "Oh, okay, I don't see myself now."
I remember years and years ago, we were sitting around here trying to copy Ron Barr's laugh. I couldn't get it right. And then Jason Stewart, who I used to work with, he found a little key, and he goes, "Start off with a yee." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Go like this. Yeah." I'm like, "Oh, that's how I get into Ron Barr's laugh." And I know what you mean. Just from that story, you find a little key, right?
Exactly, exactly. And then there is, you know, there is some artistic license that I say, you know, it's not verbatim, it's not 100%, but it's trying to really like honor the essence. And we have people that come to the shows that are like the inspirations for these characters, and that's really cool. And I think the cool thing about it is that there's a way in which you can both have that pathos and that comedy, you know, because when you make people laugh, you can kind of open them up to hear anything. And there's an interesting way in which people's sense of humor, which is different when they get an audience to sort of into, it's a way of getting them into their world. And it's like, okay, well, I can get down with this 7-year-old woman in South Carolina now that she's sort of made a joke, or I can hang with this dude in Missouri now that he's, you know, you can see he has a sense of humor about themselves as well. I think allows the audience to to be open as well.
All right. Before we let you go, takes all kinds and all the voices in the vast spectrum. And this is leading up to our last presidential election in 2024. Tell us a little bit more about the show tonight.
So, tickets are almost out for tonight in San Francisco, but the exciting thing is I'll be kicking off this tour. So I'll be in Joe's Pub in New York on August 3rd and going back to Charleston, South Carolina, September 12th through 14th. And I think in Idaho in September 27th. Anyways, it's stories from all across the country. We got barbershops in Las Vegas where people are giving each other stuff and also talking politics and also telling their life stories. It's organizers on the streets of Atlanta getting people to vote by telling stories about their great-grandmother and how they got to vote. It's people in, like I said, small town Missouri who talk to disaffected dudes and get them back into believing that their lives matter, basically, but in a way that is sort of funny. And or it's a guy who never thought he would be political and grew up in a really conservative environment and started going to fish shows, and all of a sudden now he's involved in his school board PTA meeting in Florida. And so it's a real, you get to see all these different perspectives around the country, and you can listen to them because you like these people and they're funny and they're interesting and they're surprising. And they, whenever you think they're going one way, they go the other.
I should mention to people that Joe's Pub is not just some dive like it sounds. It's a huge place in the Village right at Astor Place. That's a great little venue you got there.
Yes, yes. It's Joe's Pub at the Public Theater, which is sort of considered one of the national theaters in the country. So, yeah, it's got a humble name.
All right. Well, and we have a humble performer tonight on the main stage at the Marsh, San Francisco, 7:30 p.m. Make sure to check out our guest, Dan Hoyle, as he kicks off his tour, Takes All Kinds. Dan, have a great time, and thanks for coming on. Let's catch up on your next effort.
I appreciate it so much, Rick.